Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Great weekend celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King, a man who exemplifies purpose, a reason. Why are we doing what we're doing? What are we trying to accomplish here? Right? So the typical answer is, you got to make a living. You got to pay the bills. Is that it? Is that all? I'm just working, doing what I do for a check so that I can give it to somebody else, pay for all my stuff. We're talking about the power of purpose. And there really is power when you have a reason why you're doing what you're doing. Why you do what you do. Your family, purpose. Your children, purpose. Your future, purpose. The kingdom of God, your church, your ministry, your influence gives purpose. So many different applications, but I'm challenging you today to think beyond just trying to pay the bills and to begin to reason and understand why you do what you do. Maybe nothing needs to change in your life. You might be right where God wants you to be. You're in the right place. You're doing the right things, but why you do them might need to change. It's a big deal. If you ask one kid, why do you do your homework? Oh, I'm trying to pass this class because, you know, I want to get out of school as fast as I can. I don't want to get an F because then I don't have enough credits. Hate school. You ask another kid, why are you doing your homework? I want to learn. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to gain knowledge that'll prepare me for my future. Two kids doing the same thing. One's getting ready for a future of not so much good stuff. One's getting ready for a future that probably will be good stuff. Why do you do what you do? Last week, Caleb showed you a list of things that we commit to you as a church, as church pastors, as church leaders, and our church staff, almost 50 people. This is why we do what we do. This is our commitment to you. You could call it our purpose. And here it is. We will seek God. We will lead with integrity. We are committed to your kids, to your marriage, to your finances, to find your place in the body of Christ, to help the Spirit of God and open our lives to the Holy Spirit and to shepherd with excellence and compassion and vision. And you're right, it's not just about getting numbers and to never stop reaching for every lost person in the Northwest. So just purpose, right? Reasons why we show up every day, why we go through the rehearsals and the study and the preparation. And a lot of people go, man, I want to get one of those jobs like at church where you only have to work on Sunday. Yeah, I'd like to have one of those jobs too. So that was just a breakdown that Caleb did about our commitment to you. But you understand, it's why do I preach and teach here every week? Well, I'm trying to get some clicks, you know, I'm trying to build my numbers, trying to get more followers, trying to become an influencer. People will send me free stuff. No, not my purpose. Not my purpose. That's why I don't really teach just to make you happy or make you like me, obviously. I'm actually surprised every week you come back. Like, wow, they came back. It's a miracle. But we're teaching to try to bring Jesus and bring faith and bring the Holy Spirit and bring purpose and vision and all that God has for you into your lives. We're not just here trying to go through our homily. I don't even know what a homily is. Isn't there some kind of food called homily? Huh? Y'all don't know either. So why, what's the purpose? What are you doing? Caleb is big on identity, right? He, because if your identity is off, if you identify with the wrong things, then everything in life gets off. So it could start with, do you identify with Christ? Do you identify as a Christian? Do you identify with life and abundance and prosperity and God's plans? Do you identify, or do you identify as a victim? Do you identify as a loser? You identify as an addict? You identify as an alcoholic? You identify with good things or bad things. It can decide your future, right? So we could say it like this: your identity brings you to your purpose. And then today I want to show how your purpose brings you to your vision. And the Bible said, where there is no vision, people perish. Right? That's Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision. Let me speak it to you in the paraphrase version. Where there is no vision, people drink a lot of beer. Right? You have no vision. As a young man, I had no vision. In fact, the future scared me. What am I going to do? Where am I? What's my life? I had nothing. And so my focus was on just medicating. Just try to stay high, just try to stay drunk. And that, of course, opened up a whole new problem for me. Where there is no vision, you medicate more. You try to stay out of it so you don't have to deal with it. Where there is no vision, people perish. So how do we get to vision? Identity, purpose, and vision. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. One of my favorite. I guess they're all my favorite. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you were created for good works. In other words, before you were born, God had some things he had planned for you. You were created for good works. Anything that's created was made for something. Every tool was made for a particular job. The TV, the radio, the stove, it's all created for a particular purpose. You were created for something. And that's why your personality is the way that it is. That's why your thinking, your perspective, your ability, right? How come some people are so good at one thing and their son, their daughter, their brother, their sister, born with them in the same family, not good at all? You would think, well, it's the same. DNA is the same. Home is the same. Training is the same. Education is the same. One is good at something, the other's good at something else. Why? Because you were created for good works. Now, your goal in life is to find what are those good works. And you know what? You're probably there. Because you just end up there because that's your gift and your talent and your love and your... If you're doing something you hate, I would ask you to pray about, are you doing those good works you were created for? Because most likely you're doing stuff you love. If you hate it, you don't do it. And God gives you the desires of your heart. So you end up doing stuff you like to do and you're good at doing it. You were created for good works. As I said, most of you don't need to change what you're doing, but you may need to think about why do you do it? Because you might get stuck in a worldly perspective and forget the bigger purpose. So now you're just in the treadmill, right? And here's how you talk when you're living in the treadmill. How many years do I have till I get to retire? Well, you're 30, so it's probably gonna be a few years, right? 30-year-olds talking about retiring. That's because you're not living with purpose. You're just trying to, you know, get away from whatever. So we are created for good works. Listen to this, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God designed things in the world, in our time, in our generation, in our place, our country, wherever we are. And he said, I have some good works for you. And as you walk with me, as you follow me, you'll find those things and you'll take the path that I prepared ahead of time. That's an important thought. Let's get on the path that God prepared for us. So I'm not making a living, I'm just walking out the life that God prepared for me. I don't have to blaze the trail, I'm just taking the trail that God prepared for me. See, the attitude is totally different. If you feel like every day you gotta fight and scrap and work to get ahead and to pay the bills, you get worn out. Because you're constantly struggling in life. No, I'm living an abundant life. People all the time tell me, oh, I know being pastor of a church is so hard. And you got so many people. It must be traumatic. And you know, I don't know how you handle it. Are you on drugs? Well, I was. And being around you kind of makes me want to go back. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, no. People say this to me and Wendy all the time. I know you're so busy, you don't have any time. Actually, we have time to do everything we want to do. Because we're not stressing to make a living and to make it all work. We're taking paths that he prepared ahead of time. Now, it doesn't mean it's easy. He didn't say he's prepared you for easy works. He said he's prepared you for good works, right? Good purpose. Good influence, good impact, good life, good family, good future, right? That's God's will for you. Look in the Amplified Bible. I love this passage, Amplified Bible. We call this Wendy's version. Wendy is our Amplified. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So again, not the easy life, the good life. So it's hard, challenging, go through challenge, go ups and downs, battle through circumstances, but you know I'm on a path with God. He prepared it for me. It's a good life. So that peace and that joy and that confidence, I'm going to win this battle. Right now I have three or four friends, all in ministry, all fighting cancer. Well, I've been there. I've done that. So I can call them and say, you're good, man. You're gonna beat this. You're gonna win. You're gonna overcome. You're gonna keep going. You're gonna get through, right? And so even when we feel like we failed, God has a way of bringing us through and helping us because we're on a path that he prepared ahead of time. Now, when you don't care about God, have no honor toward God, have no relationship with God, and don't think, how do I live for God, with God, in God's will, in God's plan? That's when you start having this, I'm on my own, I'm doing my thing. I'm living my life, right? And you get self-centered, and it's you think you're doing everything, and then life gets hard. And you end up in your latter years usually alone because you've always been self-centered. And usually questioning, what did I live for? Right? So it's important that we become conscious that I'm just on a path that God prepared ahead of time. Do you ever go to the airport not knowing what flight you're on? You have no airlines. You have no flight number. You have no itinerary, no seat. And you're not sure where you're going. And you just go to the first counter, which at SeaTac Airport, the first, that's an Alaska counter. And if you happen to get a person, which is usually difficult, you could ask that person, well, where am I going? And they'd be like, what? How would I know where you're going? Well, I'm here. Where am I going? That's kind of how people live every day. They don't know where they're going, and they go to counselors and they go to different people to tell me where I'm going, and it doesn't work. You and God, in your prayer time, in your study time, in your Bible reading, you begin to sense God directing me in this career, in this relationship, in this plan and purpose for my future. And so then you get to the airport, you have a destination. You have a flight number. You have a gate. You have a seat. Now, many of you don't clarify those things, and you get connected to people going to other cities, right? Because you're at the airport and you're chatting, you meet people at the Starbucks that you're friends with, and you're like, oh, where are you going? Well, I'm going to LA, or I'm going to Phoenix, and I'm going to Palm Springs, and you're like, oh man, that sounds so exciting. You end up getting on their airplane. And then when you get there, well, where am I gonna stay? Well, what am I gonna do? It was so exciting, but you didn't think it through, and now you're in the wrong spot, and you've gotten connected with the wrong people. And you're looking at the people that you're seated with, and you're like, what am I doing with these people? Where are these people going? But you let people tell you what you should do because you don't have a strong sense of purpose. You always pick the wrong dude because you don't have a strong sense of purpose. When you know who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, you don't let flaky people mess with you. No. Wendy and I got together. We both had the same purpose, same calling, same mission. Okay, let's go. Done deal. Settled. 50 years later, still on the track, still on the flight, still on the way. Right? But you got to get that sense of purpose in your own heart. And then you connect with people that have agreement with that. But get on the path that God prepared for you. Now, if you get off the path, it's okay, because your steps are ordered of the Lord, so he'll get you back on path, right? So sometimes you might wake up one day and go like, oof, I made a bad decision. The Lord says, I got you. We're gonna get you back on track, right? It's okay, we all have those days, we all have those seasons. One time Wendy climbed a mountain, because she's always climbing mountains, right? She's always got a vision for another mountain. So there's a mountain up by North Bend on the way to Snoqualmie Pass. It's called Mailbox. How many have climbed the Mailbox? Yep, several of you hikers have done it. It's a long one. It's like 6 miles up. It's a workout. I skipped that day. So Wendy goes up, she gets to there's a mailbox at the top. And what do? You put a message in the mailbox, write something down, you put it in there. I would write like, why am I here? This is not part of my mission other than to be with Wendy. Okay, so Wendy gets to the top. She's at the mailbox. She takes the picture. Really, that's all she needs. Without a picture, it didn't really happen. And she starts down. Well, on the way down, the trail gets a little sketchy. And she's, you know, trying, and then she loses track and she thinks, okay, I'll just go over there. I'll get back on the trail. Well, she went to the other side of the mountain. When you're at the top, the other side is a few feet. When you're at the bottom, the other side is a few miles. She starts down the wrong side of the mountain. Well, there's no trail. Pretty soon she realizes, I've lost the trail. I don't know how to get back to it. So she just keeps trying, and now she's stumbling down. She literally fell, injured herself, pretty serious injury. She's kind of falling down the mountain. When I finally saw her that evening, worried and wondering, where you been? She's just dirty. She's just all banged up. Ship all banged up. On the way down, she met a group of firemen training, you know, firemen trained to help people. So she said, can you help me? They said, no. She said, well, you all failed the training. So she kept walking. Now she's on a logging road, wrong side of the mountain. She actually came out on the Snoqualmie Pass side. She parked on the North Bend side. But one of the firemen in training felt guilty, so he jumped in his pickup truck and he drove to find her. Thank the Lord. It's a good man. She made him cookies the next day. And then he drove her. It was a half hour drive to get back to the other side where her truck was. So the illustration is, when you get off the trail, life gets real hard. And the divorces and the injuries and the pain and the questions and the trauma, right? But God still has someone out there that will pick you up and get you back on track, right? You may get bruised, right? You may get bruised. You may go through some pain, but you keep trusting God. You keep seeking God. You keep believing God has a path for me. I'm going to get back on track. And when you're on the path, there's a confidence, right? Maybe you're on your path with God and the company does layoffs. Right, your company fires you, and other people get fired, and they're crying. What are we gonna do? How am I gonna pay the bills? Oh my God, I think we better go to the bar and get drunk, which is not helpful. Right, but where there is no vision, people drink a lot of beer. But you're happy. And so people say, what's wrong with you? Weren't you fired too? Yeah, oh yeah, but I'm on a path that God prepared ahead of time. So what this means to me is not I'm in trouble, but rather I'm getting promoted. God's taking me to a better place. God's taking me to a higher place. God has something more for me. See, that's the attitude of the Christian who's living with purpose. The power in purpose is your confidence that you're walking with God. And stuff happens. It always does. Sickness, right? Maybe layoffs, economic shift, whatever. But you're there not for that job. That's just part of the process. You're there for God. You're there for His will in your life, right? Now, Wendy and I started here at Christian Faith 46 years ago. So can we just call it 50? Close enough? Because we were 4 years in school, a couple years ministry before, let's say 50. I like that number. And in 50 years, how many mayors, city council members have said to me personally, your church will never be in our city. You'll never build that site. You'll never have that property. It's not gonna happen. They're buried out in the back of the church here. We're still here. Don't even know how that happened. Right? So there's always challenges, difficulties, problems, disasters, people quitting, people leaving, all the stuff, and it hurts, right? In the moment, we're traumatized, especially when we were young. You know, once you get to 70, you're like, been there before. But when you're young, you're traumatized. Everything is, you know, you're struggling with it. But you begin to realize, okay, I have power in purpose. God has a plan. God's leading me. God is my source. This company's not my source. Government, not my source. Social welfare bill, check, not my source. God is my source, right? So that is your superpower. You have a purpose. You're taking a path that's from the Lord. Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. For sake of time, I just want to review the story of David and Goliath. You know the story, but let's review it quickly. If you don't know the story, go to the movie David. It's in the theaters now, and you'll learn something. It's really good. Mahal loved it. I loved watching Mahal love the movie. But David is a young man, the youngest of seven brothers. And his brothers are all strong, handsome, tough guys, right? Big guys in the army. David is the young guy, the smaller guy. He's taking care of his dad's sheep. And David has red hair. It's important in the story. It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. It's in the Bible. So the brothers are in the army, and the army's fighting the Philistines, and they send out Goliath. And they say, hey, no sense all of us fighting. Just give us your best man. We'll fight. Whoever wins, the others have to serve them. So Israel's scared. They got nobody to fight Goliath. They're shaking. They're hiding. They're avoiding their problems. Here's what we do when we're alcoholics. Here's what we do when we're addicts. Here's what we do when we kind of live in a culture of denial. When the giant comes against us, we get scared and we draw back. And that's what Israel did. So David shows up because his father told him to take bread and cheese to his brothers. So essentially, David is an Uber Eats driver. This is Uber Eats. I have your bread and your cheese. While he's there, he hears Goliath. Goliath curses God, curses Israel, curses all that's good. And David notices nobody responds. Nobody says, what? Nobody comes out to fight him. So David says, what would I get if I killed him? They said, well, you get the king's daughter, you get free taxes. David's like, I'm in. Because David sensed something else, that God would use him. He said, I killed a lion and a bear to protect my father's sheep. I'm going to do the same thing to this giant. And then he ran out against the giant. And he said, you come at me with a sword and a spear. I come at you in the name of the Lord. Okay, think about this. You go to work with a degree and a desire for a paycheck. I go to work in the name of the Lord. Who's going to do better? What's the purpose? What's the mission here? I get paid. Okay. I get paid and I live with purpose. David's brothers were embarrassed by him. And they said, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? And David said this statement, is there not a cause? That should be how you and I respond. Is there not a cause? With everything that we do, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, is there not a cause? Whatever you do, what's the cause? Or let's use the word purpose. Or let's use the word mission. Or let's use the word reason why. Isn't that a reason to fight this giant? He just cursed our God and our people. Is there not a reason to take him out? When David ran at the giant, it wasn't just with a rock and a slingshot or a sword or a spear. It was with a cause. And when that rock went in the giant's forehead, he said, I've never had that enter my mind before. It's in the Bible. You should read it. It's in the Bible. Right? And go to the movie. You'll see the rock hit the giant. Boom, down he went. You will take out your giants if you attack them with a purpose. If you're just trying to avoid problems and difficulties and get through life without any challenge and just trying to pay the bills and survive, your giants are going to make you tremble. Your giants are going to make you scared. And many people are. My anxieties, my nervousness, my issues, my problems. But when you have a purpose, you face those giants and you know you will take them out. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.